Joining me right now will be the Jazz Cat himself with his guest today, and it will be a stellar guest as well, as usual, one that you will recognize by name immediately. And, you know, it's just sort of the Jazz Cat's way. If you want more information, you go to his website. That website is www.thejazzcat.net. You'll get all those great interviews on there, all the great interviews. I mean, I'm telling you, there are nothing more I can say other than you will hear countless interviews of all the luminaries, and he brings one to the show today on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio for locals only. And we are broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building in beautiful Carmel by the Sea, California. You are listening to us on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. Welcome now to the airwaves, I believe, hopefully, I'll keep my fingers crossed, is none other than Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
You are there. There we go. All right.
Beautiful, beautiful. Coming on a little bit late today, but better late than never.
Well, everybody's happy to have you aboard, so without any further delay, let me get you on, and you're all set to roll.
Well, beautiful. As I always try to do, I always try to bring you another stellar guest in the jazz business, and today, Mr. Lewis Nash joins me. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, Leroy?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, beautiful. You know, one of the things that is obvious to me is that you seem to be the Samuel L. Jackson of the jazz business, man. What is it that you possess that is sought by players on both ends of the spectrum?
Well, I wish I could answer that, you know, clearly and precisely, but I guess I can only go by the things that I think that they're looking for when they hire me or when I work with them. And first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here and speak with you. And just like to say that in working with such a wide variety of different musicians with different viewpoints on approaching the music, it's helped me tremendously in formulating my own, you know, musical direction. We'll talk about that a little later. But I really am, I guess if there's anything you can be proud of, I'm really proud of the fact that so many different people have asked me to work with them and give me a lot of opportunities to hear various views on music, as I mentioned, hear the way different people think about arranging, the way different people think about orchestrating, how I can use my musical abilities and knowledge to enhance various situations which might be completely different in terms of genre, style, or approach. So I don't know if I can really answer why, but I can guess that musicality, musicianship, big ears, willingness to work with people, the desire to be a part of a whole team player. I'm hoping that all those types of things might be parts of the reason why.
Well, my man, I know that they are. I mean, you can basically pick up, let's just say, 75% of any jazz albums and look on there, and who's playing drums? Mr. Lewis Nash. Hey, since you're one of those cats that plays with everyone, what do you feel is the major difference between the music playing and compositions of yesterday as compared with the younger generations of players today that are composing their music?
That's an interesting question. I guess I could say the effect of music, of jazz program or jazz schools, you know, on the younger players has affected how they think about approaching composition, how they think about approaching playing, even. That's not all good and it's not all bad. But in years past, many of the great masters, even the ones who were schooled in terms of going to a conservatory or through a music program, even those musicians learned quite a bit in the heat of the battle, so to speak, on the bandstand, on the road with great players. And there was more of a learning on the job type of thing got your information about how to deal with things that you don't get in school, what happens in front of an audience when things fall apart, if the beat gets turned around, if the audience isn't responding, what do you do, how do you pace a set, all these kinds of things you get on the job. And the young musicians are still able to get that if they're able to lead a band on their own or work as a sideman. But in the old days, there was more of a, there was less of an influence, I think, of jazz schools and jazz education on the way people thought about playing and composing. So I have a feeling that these days we're getting a lot of very intricate, interesting, maybe complicated, dense, very involved, original pieces being written. And that's great for musicians, I think, to a certain degree, to try things. But what's happening is we're not getting a lot of tunes written that other people want to play. So I'm always telling the young musicians, look, you know, it doesn't mean you have to write in the style of Horace Silver or in the style of any other number of jazz composers, Hank Mobley or whatever. It doesn't mean you have to write in that style, but wouldn't you benefit from writing compositions that other people want to play? What's happening now is everyone's original music, only that band plays, only that person plays it. And so they're losing out not only on having other people interpret their music, they're also losing out on royalty checks.
Yeah. They have to some way write so they can create the new standard for the future.
There you go. I don't necessarily know how to tell them to do that.
Right.
But I think that would be good.
You're listening to Lewis Nash on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, what type of situations provide you with the most creativity and freedom of expression? I mean, I know you've worked in duo formats and trios, quintets, the whole gamut. Which do you like the best?
I don't know if I could truly say that I like one above the other, because so much depends on the other musician who I would be playing with. I mean, if I said I like, for example, piano trio the most, that doesn't mean I'm always going to like every piano trio situation I'm in more than any other.
Right.
Because having played in piano trio with Tommy Flanagan, with Hank Jones and John Lewis and people like that, McCoy Tyner, that puts things on a pretty high level as far as, you know, the piano chair. So if I'm in a trio situation with a pianist, you know, I've got pretty high expectations from the things that I've done before, and I don't expect everyone to sound like those guys I mentioned. But just to answer your question, I really love the piano trio situation, but it would have to be on a certain level.
Right.
Because you know, the roles are pretty evenly divided, and you need input from all three players. I really enjoy playing with horns because I get a chance to hit the drums with a little more force and get a chance to really bear down a little bit. I like playing in big bands for some of the same reasons. The most recent big band recording I did, which has just come out in the last few months, was with Jimmy Heath, called Turn Up the Heat. So I like, from duo, as you mentioned, all the way up through big band. And I would probably prefer, if you were asking about expression and creativity, in general, a big band wouldn't allow as much, but in that Jimmy Heath big band, I felt completely free to do a lot of things. So, again, it depends on the situation and whose music you're playing.
Well, we know you bring it, whatever situation you're in. You're listening to Lewis Nash on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM. KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Now, you mentioned a couple of people that you play with, and boy, we certainly couldn't go through the whole list, but I mean, you want to talk about Art Pepper, Sonny Stitt, you mentioned McCoy Tyner, Diana Krall, Betty Carter, Jackie McLean, all the way to, you know, the younger cats of the day like Hargrove and Wynton, Benny Green, Don Braden, Stephen Scott, all of these cats, man. It's just like a whole spectrum that you play with. These days, there's so many ways for musicians to make a great living. There's playing, touring, recording, film scoring, master classes, teaching, and such. Out of all of these, which do you find most spiritually rewarding, and are there any that are spiritually and financially rewarding at the same time?
Sure. I mean, I'm always trying to explain. People ask me, what does it feel like playing with McCoy, for example?
Right.
I just pick him out. That's, you know, one of the names that I mentioned.
That's a good one to mention.
And I always say, when I play with McCoy Tyner, I feel like I'm flying. I feel like I'm airborne. I don't really know how to put that in musical terms, but that's physiologically, I just feel airborne. There's so much energy and so much, and I'm so fulfilled. So from the, you're talking about spiritually fulfilling. When I'm playing, and especially when I'm playing with people of that caliber on that level, that's when it really seems to combine, you know, the, you know, it's financially rewarding, it's spiritually rewarding, I feel creative, I feel like I'm doing what I want to do. And so I would have to say, more so than teaching or doing workshops or clinics, even though I get a lot of satisfaction out of doing those and helping younger or up-and-coming players to get a grasp on things, I really do enjoy that. And there have been some pretty moving moments, you know, spiritually in terms of dealing with young people. But I would have to say that when I'm actually involved in playing my instrument, completely involved in some musical moment with someone like McCoy or others, that would have to be it.
Beautiful, man. Well, we got a few minutes left here. I just want to ask you one more question before we actually take off. Many drummers have their own voice. I mean, there are statements, whether they're lyrical, aggressive, subtle, straight ahead, or and what have you. When playing with so many different individuals and leaders of bands, I'm sure they ask you to do your thing.
Right.
What is that thing that you do that says that puts the Lewis Nash stamp on the music?
You know, the person who you ask that question is always the hardest to give an answer.
I know.
So, Leroy, I really would have to defer.
Yeah.
I hope that, okay, I've strived throughout my training and career in music to be very articulate and clear with whatever my musical ideas are. So I guess if I had to put my finger on something myself, I guess, you know, I've spent a lot of time working on my time being consistent, you know, the feel of the groove, but basically tempo being consistent and steady. So I think that's one of the things, you know, I don't think I drastically rush or drag or turn things around. And then, you know, people are always commenting that my ideas are clear. So, you know, I guess I could say that.
Well, clear thoughts lead to great freedom in the music, man. And we know that rhythm is certainly your business. You're making your way to the West Coast, so just let us know where you're playing here shortly.
Yeah, coming up President's Day weekend, I think it kicks off on Thursday night, the 15th through the 18th, is the Newport Beach Jazz Party in Newport Beach. And I've done it a few times in the past before. It's a pleasure to come back again. It's one of those situations where it's a mix and match type of jam session style presentation where there's several bass players, several drummers, several horn players and piano players, etc. And we kind of mix and match.
Oh, beautiful, man. It's always great to have you. Thank you for spending some time with us here today on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Thank you, Lewis.
My pleasure, Lewis.
Thank you, gentlemen. And if you want more information regarding all the interviews here held exclusively here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, go to the JazzCats website, and that's www.thejazzcat.net, and you'll be able to get all of the exclusive interviews as jazz luminaries, just like Lewis Nash was on. You'll hear that interview on thejazzcat.net. This off the Jazz Messengers, the art legacy of Art Blakey, and this features such stellar giants of the jazz industry as Benny Golson, a saxophone, and he handled the musical director chores on this particular CD, the legacy of Art Blakey, the Jazz Messengers. That's Terrence Blanchard, of course, on trumpet, Curtis Fuller handling trombone duties, and Jeffrey Keyser on piano, Peter Washington on bass with the great Lewis Nash, and I mean great. The guy is on everything, on everything we have in the library. Seems 75% Lewis Nash, one of the really the stellar giants of the jazz genre. Drums, none other than Lewis Nash, and you can hear that exclusive interview on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, replayed on the Live with the Jazz Cat segment, and that is on the JazzCat.net website.